May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Doug Baker was a pillar of this parish in more ways than one. He was part of a group called the Pillars, and we used to meet on Thursday nights. Actually, we still do meet on Thursday nights. But anyway, he would always come with some little tidbit for us. And one night he came in, and we were meeting in the parish hall after the Eucharist, and he said, "You all remember Gandhi?" Well, yeah. And he said, "Well, Gandhi, you know, he used to wander around, and he always wandered in his bare feet. And so over time, he developed some huge calluses on the bottoms of his feet. He also fasted all the time. So, you know, he was kind of frail as a result of that wandering, never taking transportation. And because he was fasting, he got pretty bad breath, you know. And so it could be said of him that he was a super calloused, fragile mystic, hexed with halitosis." And he said it with a straight face. I had to admire that. But then, you know, through those whiskers, you could see that wry smile come. Doug loved his family. Oh my gosh, he loved his family. He loved woodworking. He loved clogging. He loved life. He loved God. He was a man filled with love. On his bedside table, there is a framed scripture verse, Luke chapter 12, verse 32. And that was the gospel that Deacon Mack just read. It says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And as I understand from the family, that was instrumental in the choice of a name for their son, because it came from Luke's gospel. Fear not, though, Jesus says. Fear not. That's hard. That is a hard command, particularly in the midst of the things we don't understand. We want to know why. We want to know the reason for these things. And the fear of the unknown is really a matter of we're not in control anymore. We don't understand. We don't have any control over the situation. And so we get afraid. And that's understandable and that's human. But what Jesus says is, fear not. And then he says, for. And he gives us a reason. Fear not, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He is the king. And where the king is, there is the kingdom. And we are sons and daughters of the king. And it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It's his good pleasure as the king to take care of us. He wants to take care of us. He wants to protect us and to pour out his love upon us. We are sons and daughters of the king. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says that Jesus is not unable to sympathize with our weakness. That's one of those double negatives. Jesus is able, is what that's saying. Jesus is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. How is that? Because Jesus knows pain. Jesus was God. Yes, he is God. But he also came in the fullness of flesh. He was completely human as well as completely divine. And in His human nature, He knew pain. He knew sorrow. He knew grief. And He knew loss. For example, when He heard that John the Baptist had been beheaded, it says that He immediately left the crowd, got into a boat, and went to the other side so that He could spend time alone with His Father. He needed that time to be alone with God. And that's a good thing. When Lazarus died, it says Jesus wept. He knew pain. He knew loss. And that story of Lazarus gives us a beautiful picture, because it also gives us the other side of the story. When Jesus showed up, Martha came out and she was angry. And she came up to Jesus and got right in His face, and she said to Him, "If you were here, my brother would not have died." And you can just hear it in those words that she was frustrated, she was fearful, she was angry, she was hurt. But Jesus says to her, "Whoever lives and believes in Me will never die. Whoever lives and believes in Me will never die." Yes, she was angry. And we have a right to be angry too. We don't understand what happened, why it happened. And anger is a human emotion. It is not a sin. What you do with the anger, that's up to you. But it's there. And we're not in control. And that's hard for us. But just as Jesus went across the lake when He heard about John the Baptist, so we can, as it were, go across the lake and come to the Father. He is Abba. He is Daddy. You can come to Daddy and say, "Oh, Daddy, Daddy, why? Oh, Daddy, Daddy, please. Oh, Daddy, Daddy, I'm hurting, I'm sorrowful, I'm grieving." And I'm sure you'll hear somewhere in your spirit, "Fear not. For it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, one of the things that happens in the church is that we somehow get, I'm going to use a big word here, okay? We get eschatologically minded, which is end times, as it were, okay? We get focused on the end times and somehow think that the kingdom is something that's in the future. But the Scripture is very clear that the kingdom is here and the kingdom is now. It is a present reality. When Martha came to Jesus, when Jesus came to Martha, as it were, in that story about Lazarus, and she confronted Him with those words, Jesus asked her, do you believe that He will rise again? "Yes, I believe He will rise in the last day." And Jesus comes back at her and says, "I am the resurrection. I am the life. The King is here. The kingdom is now. This is it." And in Luke chapter 17, the Pharisees asked the same type of question of Jesus. It says in Luke chapter 17, verse 20, "Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, He answered them, 'The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, Lo, here it is, or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you.'" The kingdom of God is in the midst of us. Where the King is, there is the kingdom. Another way to read that scripture is to say the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is in all who have Jesus Christ in their lives. The kingdom of God is present wherever Jesus reigns on the throne. Over and over again in the gospel it says, "The kingdom of God is at hand." You know, Doug worked a lot with his hands. He did a lot of that fine woodwork. And I'm sure, knowing Doug, that his tools were always at hand. and always probably very clean and probably neatly organized, and he knew exactly where everyone was. But they were at hand, which means they were there, easily reached. The kingdom of God is there, and it's easily reached just by speaking the name of Jesus. Abba, Daddy, He's close at hand. He knows our pain. He knows our grief. He shares our sorrows. He is not unable to sympathize with our weakness. In St. Paul's epistle, in chapter 8, Paul tells them, "We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us from the King. We are sons and daughters of the King. We're family. We're family. In Christ Jesus, we are one body. In that passage that Maria read from the book of the Revelation, he says, "Behold, I make all things new." It's hard right now to see how that's going to be realized in our lives. It's a loss. We've all experienced an incredible loss. But he makes all things new. Our relationship with Doug has changed. It's a new relationship. Does he know how much we loved him? Absolutely. I have no doubt about it. But there's no pain. There's no grief for him. He smiles upon us. In the Revelation it says, "Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Our relationship with Doug is just as strong as it was on Sunday. It's just changed. "Behold, I make all things new," Jesus said. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your God, your Father." Try that one again, Bill. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We are the King's sons and daughters." Jesus tells us, as he did Martha, "Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." We are alive in him. We are alive with all who are in Christ Jesus. It is okay. As a matter of fact, it is important for us to mourn our loss, but not to be afraid. For it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So, let us celebrate life. Let us celebrate our life. Let us celebrate the life of Doug Baker. He would want that. He would want that for everyone in this room. And we all have a new life in Jesus Christ. So let us celebrate. And to celebrate, come on in.
Thank you. You guys come on out. As you've been hearing and all of you know, Doug had a number of very large families, including his church family, including his co-workers from the North Carolina State Alcohol Rehab, facilities that he worked at over the years. He had his carving family with all the woodworking he did, and he also had his green grass blogger family. And we are proud to be here and be a part of the celebration. Doug, he was the glue that kept this team together for the last 45 years. He is the only person that has kind of had the whole arc of the Greengrass Cloggers. We have half of our team in Greenville, North Carolina, and half of the team in Asheville. And over these 46 years, Doug and I joined the Greengrass Cloggers just a few months after they won the world championship in 1972 after being together for 1 year. So Doug and I and Dudley have known each other for 45 years. And we have been through a lot, a lot of different transitions of the team. And of those 46 years, there's been almost 200 dancers that have danced with the Greengrass Cloggers. And Doug, by far, nurtured and his gentle way encouraged more of those dancers than anybody else.
Amen.
So he's a blessing to all of us. And Greengrass Cloggers is going to come out and dance a little routine.